Chad, I think that was a very, very well done presentation, and I thank you for it. There's a lot to think about, a lot to absorb, and I'm sure we'll talk soon. Thank you very much. I'm sorry you got so much smoke down here, but I think you sent a bunch of it up here in the last hour. I'll tell you that.
Trying to get rid of as much of it as I can. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We are now moving to number 14, miscellaneous and meeting debrief. So, lest I not forget, Councillor Pinesco, you had some comments. Did you want to bring those forward now or later during this process?
I can do it right now.
That's
Sure.
what I, that would be good.
Yep. And so this is just, it's information that we've already pushed to the WDFW's executive management team, just in terms of changes of the organizational structure within our office, the Attorney General's office, as with respect to legal representation of Fish and Wildlife. Our division had been a separate division in the Attorney General's office. Joe Shorn was our division chief. He retired August 31st. And our office, instead of refilling his division chief position for purposes of efficiency, has decided to combine our division with the resources division that advises the Department of Natural Resources. So it has very little impact on our representation of Fish and Wildlife. What has happened is I've been a section manager of four of our nine attorneys in our unit, and I have now become the section manager of all of the attorneys who had been in the Fish, Wildlife, Parks Division, and I will report to the division chief of the Resources Division, whose name is Patricia O'Brien. She goes by Patty. She was the division chief 10 years ago when I left that division. I used to advise Department of Natural Resources before I switched over to Fish and Wildlife. So we still have all of our attorneys. I'm still your legal counselor for commission purposes. I will take over from Joe Shorin on interacting with executive management, the director, the deputy director, and all the rest of the attorneys that we have are still serving their program areas, but just organizationally, I am now reporting to Patty O'Brien as the division chief, and we're going to maintain ourselves as the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks section under the larger division. The consolidated division has changed its name, so our new division name is Public Lands and Conservation Division to reflect the work of Washington State Parks, Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, and Department of Natural Resources. So that's it. And I've shared the org chart and assignments lists with the executive management team, and I can push that information out to the commission by email as well.
Well, I assume congratulations are in order. It sounds like a promotion of sorts, right?
Of sorts. I mean, I was a section manager already for the last 3 years, and so I'm still a section manager, just overseeing more attorneys.
Well, we hope you stay on board working with us. You've been very helpful over the time, Joe.
Thank you.
Okay, we are miscellaneous and meeting debrief. Commissioners, take it away. Commissioner McIsaac. You got to unmute yourself, Don.
Okay, I keep forgetting that. There's the button. Yes, so thank you. Earlier, I'd mentioned a few things to clean up the Columbia River policy matter from yesterday in terms of getting to moving down the road toward finality and negotiations with Oregon on that. So the first one was to let the staff have the liberty to convert the draft documents we've been working from in terms of strikeout and add in versions to the formal policy format. To police up any typos and things like that and get that into a final document status. That's not necessarily an urgent thing, but we would ask staff to take on that chore. I mentioned a communication plan that would have just two components. One would be a news release, and another one would be some sort of a decision document that documents the rationale for the decision and maybe keeps some sort of location for all the analysis if it ever should disappear from the website. So I think it's important that we have a news release in short order. We heard some testimony earlier about social media lighting up on this, and we're not sure what they're saying. We're not sure if people all heard it. So I would urge the director to try to get a news release out real quickly on this. and to highlight the positive intent that we did try to react to the results of the evaluation, and that the new policy does advance new ideas as well. With regard to a decision document, I think that there will be calls for what's the rationale behind that. I went through some of them yesterday. I think it's good to reduce that to writing. I think the Columbia River Work Group, the three commissioners that were there and the staff could get together and do that kind of a thing. This is not, again, an immediate urgency as the news release is, but I think this document would be useful for legislators who signed letters, maybe important in our dealing with the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission, for staff, but as a resource later, a year from now or so, to go back and say, why did they do that? What was the analysis and all of that? This was done the last time too. So this is a just kind of a piece of good business. The last thing is I had intended to get to a climate change amendment yesterday that just inserted in three different spots the word climate change and very little more, just to reference that. I did not get that amendment on the floor, and so it's not appropriate to reopen the thing or put that out anywhere else. But I guess as we move forward in talking to Oregon, if there's commissioners who would have objected to that consideration, that maybe they might let the folks that are the commissioners that are going to be involved in dealing with Oregon know any negative feelings about that in terms of a reaction as we deal with them.
Okay, Commissioner Anderson, and I guess Commissioner Keogh, I have a couple thoughts thereafter. Commissioner Anderson?
First off, my comment was going to be directed towards a blue sheet that I want to talk about, but skipping past that and staying on this topic, I support what Commissioner McIsaac has said here. I think that it's necessary work that we need to do and stay on top of this and complete the task.
Okay, Commissioner Keogh.
Okay, off of mute. That's getting late in the day. My comments are on the Columbia decision as well. So now we had our vote yesterday. Recommended reforms passed. So now the next step is to, seems to me, is to engage our friends in Oregon discuss, meet with them, have discussions about how best to proceed. I think it makes sense also that as part of that is that we send the Oregon Commission a letter. And I've started to put some thoughts together about what a letter would say, basically kind of conveying the results of the vote and then starting the discussion about next steps. And so one thought that I had would be to have the chair appoint four commissioners to have this meeting with our Oregon counterparts, along with our director and key staff, to be there and help explain or answer any questions about what these policy reforms are and why they were put forward and adopted. And, I'm not sure about the timing of such a meeting. I think probably sooner is better rather than later. And then You know, so that would be, instead of just simply going to the Oregon chair and saying, well, what do you want to do, Oregon? I think it makes sense for us to have, you know, kind of a plan, something that they can react to. And if they have some other ideas, then perhaps consider them. Well, not perhaps, but definitely consider. So that's kind of, you know, as far as the timing of the letter and review, I don't have anything ready yet, but those are kind of my thoughts about kind of next steps engaging Oregon.
I understand yours.
And I just want to concur with what to Commissioner Kehoe is saying, and I think we should move on this as quickly as possible. A letter's fine, but their communication between the chairs of our commission and the Oregon Commission, I'm fine with whatever structure Bob, you know, we can review whatever structure Bob is suggesting. And but yeah, let's do this sooner than later. I agree with that.
Thank you, Commissioner Graybill. Commissioner Thorburn, you have your hand up.
I do. Thank you. I would just like to express my support for both the communication plan and regarding the public communication, as well as keeping this moving and communicating with Oregon. I think putting a letter together is a really great idea, with the suggestion that if they're willing, a small group of us could first meet, since it probably will take a bit of planning to get the two commissions together, as they've talked about.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I think it's also good to touch bases with them early. I think it might be good to have a discussion with them about what has just happened, and whether or not there's a commission-to-commission meeting down the line, or how that all develops. I think it's important that we have a good, solid discussion with them on first contact of what has happened here. And so I like the idea of four commissioners. I think that might put the chair and the vice chair in an awkward position, given the will of the commission being a 5-4 vote, and where you both were on that, and some things said on the record. But if you're comfortable being two of the four, I think it's important that we have two commissioners that are very knowledgeable about what the new draft is. And so I'd suggest me as the maker of the motion, and Commissioner Kehoe as the second of the motion. If both of you are not comfortable and have no interest in doing this, then I'd suggest that you look around and ask for volunteers to do it. But I do think we need to touch bases with them right away, and not go into negotiations yet, but discuss a follow-up to what has already started, and that is, we did take our vote. Here's the result. This is the will of the commission. And how do we want to move forward and engage in the most courteous and polite way?
Well, I accept your recommendation on four people. I don't have an answer for that yet, being I just heard it in the last 3-4 minutes. A couple things I do have comments on that, Don, that you raised, and I think it's very, very important that this be considered and done. Regarding a news release, I think it's incumbent upon us to be open and transparent and have both the majority position and the minority position of the commission stated. This was an awfully close vote and discussion, and in order of trying to be open and honest with the public and trying to tamper down some of the angst that could be out there, I think that would be an appropriate way to word it. It's been done in the past, and so I would recommend that. The other thing is, regarding you suggested a letter to the legislature. I wasn't sure who you thought, who you suggested would draft that. I think that letter should come from the commission, because that's who the letters from the legislature was addressed to. So I think that's the case there. So That's all my thoughts for the moment. Commissioner Thorburn?
Mr. Chairman, just to clear up something, I did not suggest or mean to suggest a letter to the legislators. I was talking about a decision document that provided the rationale for the decision and the analysis, and a decision document just like was done last time that could be used by legislators and their staff and others who are wondering what is the rationale behind what was done. So I did not suggest a letter to legislators on this.
Okay, I misunderstood that. I'm not sure we shouldn't respond, but I'll leave it to others. Thank you, Don. Commissioner Thorburn?
I'm responding to your suggestion, Chair Carpenter, about the public communication portion that presents a majority and minority report. I think it's quite appropriate to, my position is it's quite appropriate to say that this was a split vote, but it is a commission decision that has been made. I mean, that's how we work. We make decisions based on a majority vote. And so that's the decision. And it seems to me if our public communication continues to talk about the fact that this has been controversial, then we're just continuing this. We've made a decision. I know that not all of my fellow commissioners are happy with this decision, but that's how we work. It's a commission decision, and I think that's what we need to put forward to the public, acknowledging that it was a divided vote.
Well, Kim, I respect your opinion. I think we might disagree subtly, but I still stand by what I said. Director Susan, do you have your hand up, or did I miss Brad Smith? Susan, well, Kelly, go ahead, and then I'll go back to Commissioner Smith.
Okay. Obviously, willing to take direction as given. My question was on the same issue. Our news releases typically aren't a debate or a document of pros and cons. It would be a way we've started writing it already as a summary of the meeting in total, talking about all the decisions, the hunting contest, this, the recap of some of the other topics covered. And so it would acknowledge what the vote was, what it contained, and that it was a 5-4 vote. And that's as far as I was intending to go. I'm interested in whether that's what you're interested in, what you would like or not. I don't think it's a place for a debate or rehashing. It really is a news release of what was decided, and that's where the direction I was headed, but I stand for direction.
And Larry, that's exactly what I was going to say, that we have an Office of Public Affairs and Outreach Communication, whatever the name is, but I would let it go into their hands to prepare according to department policy, echoing what the director just said.
Fair enough. I heard that as well. So, Kelly, do you have your hand up again, or no? Okay.
No, I'm just derelict at taking it down. Thank you.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just be brief, and let me concur with that perspective. I was on the losing side of one of the motions, the amendment, and I'm not calling for my perspective to be in the news release. We had a vote on the hunting contest that was not a unanimous vote, and I don't think we want to go down that road. When the commission makes a decision, that's the will of the commission, and that's how it should start.
Anyone else? Is there anything else then on miscellaneous and meeting debrief today?
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Anderson, and then Commissioner Kehoe.
At some point, I would like to introduce the blue sheet request.
Okay.
And I don't know if Bob's comment was related back to the earlier subject, or we can move forward.
So, Yeah, Bob, did you want to speak?
Yeah, I'm talking about, I want to talk about the timing of the letter. Hopefully my wife isn't around, so she doesn't hear this, but I'll work on getting something out to Nikki so that we have it by noon on Monday. That is the letter, the draft letter to the Oregon Commission.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. Jim, one moment. I see Commissioner Linville has her hand up, and I assume that's on this same issue. Oh, you don't have your hand up?
I have my hand up, but it's on a different topic.
May I go ahead and take Jim Anderson, then I'll come back to you?
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Commissioner Anderson.
Okay, perhaps Nikki can help me with regard to the document, put it up on the screen. Wow, she's wonderful. So the intent here is to have a discussion, a briefing, an engagement by the commission with regard to pinniped conservation and management. I mentioned this a couple of times before as this has gotten started. And there was a brief discussion yesterday in the Fish Committee as well. So what the request is for this to be acknowledged and put on the agenda for sometime in the neighborhood of December. It would be a review of activities currently underway, both in the Columbia River and then with focus on Puget Sound and the coast. There's quite a bit of work that's already underway in the Columbia River, some of which will inform things going forward in Puget Sound and the coast. We're at a different place, obviously, in Puget Sound and the coast with regard to data and different assessments. And so this is an opportunity to keep the issue squarely in front of the commission, to recognize that predation is one aspect that of salmon recovery. Predation issues associated with marine mammals has affected salmon recovery, and it needs to be addressed in a way that makes sense. A lot of people are looking at this as, well, we can do all the habitat work, we can do all the fish management work, but if we don't address some targeted predation problems, we're never going to get out of the box. Think specifically like in Stillaguamish. So what I would like to do is get the approval or get the acknowledgement of the commission to include this document. I can answer any questions.
Jim, is this I'll take this as a form of a motion to accept this, right? And
I would make that motion.
So be it. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
I'll second.
Okay, we got a bunch of seconds. Okay. Are there any questions of Commissioner Anderson? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Well done, Jim. Aye. Well done. Okay, if I could go to Ms. Linville now.
Yeah, so this is, after such a couple of days of such weighty topics, I'm almost embarrassed to bring this up. This is a very minor point. But this is our opportunity to talk as a group. I was struck on this commission meeting that there were several times that members of the public singled out commissioners. And I was just wondering if maybe that is something that we could discourage. It felt, we're already dealing with difficult enough topics, and we are singling out individual commissioners sort of almost feels, it felt a little like, I hate using buzzwords, but it felt a little micro, aggression-y. So anyways, And I can certainly put up with it, and I can certainly deal with it. But that was just on my mind a little bit, because I heard it happened to, you know, several of us, and it just didn't feel great.
That's because it's all Larry's fault.
Thank you, Molly. I think the comments are very worthwhile and justified. I'm okay for the moment, but Commissioner Baker, please.
Well, I'd like to say that I completely agree with that observation of Molly's, and I want to take it one step further in terms of something that perhaps we could discourage each other from doing, which I've noticed more and more that we are doing it, and we all do it, which is engage and sometimes argue with the people who are providing public input. I think if we choose to answer a question, that's completely up to us. But what it does when we start getting into discussions with individual commentators, it decreases the time that's available to the balance of the people who want to talk to us. And I thought in the past that the sort of unwritten and not that often spoken rule was that we're there to listen. And if we really do need to engage or follow up or have lengthy conversations or even argue or disagree, we try to move that offline between us and the commentator. So I decided as long as Molly's bringing up that kind of thing, I'd follow up with my own.
Well, I think both of you ladies made very appropriate comments, and I think we do need to work on both of those parts. So thank you for that. Commissioner Graybill, and then let's see, I got two. There's one here, I don't know who it is, has a white dog in the picture. What commissioner would that be?
That's Thorburn.
Okay, so I've got Commissioner Thorburn first, and then Commissioner Graybill. How's that sound?
Okay, I think Commissioner Graybill had his hand up first, but I want to share my thoughts on Barbara's comments about engaging. I agree that it, you know, it is the time for public comment and we should be listening, but we hear repeated pointed accusations and misinformation. So, you know, and that leaving it unchallenged, undiscussed, I think gives it more authority than it should have. So if we're going to do that, then I would like to have time set aside in our agendas to discuss public comment among ourselves, if that's what we're going to do, and not sit and listen to misinformation and accusations and charges against other groups. There were a lot of really malicious comments about commercial fishers yesterday. And it troubles me to sit and listen and have that just sit there as it becomes kind of fact in this world of non-facts.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. Commissioner Graybill, and then Commissioner Linville.
Thank you. I understand, Kim, to where you're coming from. It's kind of comes with the job in many ways. I'm very much in favor of what Chairman Baker talked about. This is the opportunity for people to vent in some cases rather than voice their opinion. There, and many of them don't have the depth of knowledge that we do. Some of them have very pointed opinions, and this is their forum that allows them to do that. In terms of being pointed out or called out by name, again, this sort of comes with the territory, and we have to accept that. I think it's our responsibility as commissioners to sort that out I don't like the idea of taking on our customers verbally in this forum. We should have the facts ourselves and understand what we're talking about and have comfort in that, knowing that we're going to get a lot of diverse opinion and sometimes completely erroneous accusations. But it's our job to sort that out. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Graybill. Commissioner Thorburn.
I don't have my hand up. I think Commissioner Linville and Commissioner Anderson have their
hand. Oh, my apologies. Commissioner Linville, I misspoke, and then Commissioner Anderson.
I certainly hear Kim. The thing that I think is the challenge is, where do you draw the line? What topics do you push back on and what you don't? Because I can guarantee you I could spend the full 2 days of a commission meeting correcting the misnomers about the cattle industry that gets said during public comment period. And, you know, I don't, so that's important to me. So that would be what I would want to correct. And, you know, it's just, where do you draw that line? And so I think probably frustratingly, I think the thing to do is to not sort of engage at that time. Cause I think Commissioner Graybill is right. People should have an opportunity to vent and voice their views. And I think that's a good thing.
Thank you, Commissioner Linville. Commissioner Anderson.
Yeah, I guess two parts. One is, you know, when somebody is clearly really off on a fact, I don't have a problem with saying, here's some facts that I have, and but not get into a big debate about it. I just think that somebody's really off, then we're doing a disservice by not at least saying that there's a difference of opinion or different fact set. I do think that perhaps if there's enough common comments that are out there, that we acknowledge those and put those off into a discussion that we can have where it isn't directed back perhaps directly to an individual, but it becomes another agenda item that we say, you know, livestock producers, and we have a discussion about what's the truth and what isn't. So maybe there's a tool or a way that we can acknowledge these comments as needing to have an answer, but not doing it necessarily in a rebuttal where we slow down the process and take up a lot of time.
Okay, we have two commissioners with their hands up. I would suggest we get those two in the books and then move on. If there's no objection, Commissioner McIsaac, and then Commissioner Thorburn.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think if there's a matter of factuality out there that a commissioner is concerned other commissioners might believe, a way to deal with that is after public testimony to ask staff for the facts. And, I'm pretty ignorant on a lot of things that we have to deal with. If someone says that 99% of the total elk herd's been wiped out by hoof rot disease, and everybody knows that, and you all know that, but I don't know it, I might ask for some double check on that. I completely agree with Commissioner Linville on the civility part of all of this, and that if they get to people calling out individual commissioners in a negative way, we all know where that line is when you start to get uncomfortable. And I agree with Commissioner Thorburn that if we have groups that are calling other groups and it goes over the line of civility, then we're going to have to rely on the person behind the gavel. If it's the chairman on a regular meeting or the vice chair on what we used to call calls, to rein that in and this be a respectful forum for debate.
Thank you, Commissioner McIsaac. Commissioner Thorburn.
I just wanted to thank Commissioner Anderson, who maybe you can be my interpreter, Jim, because your suggestions were the kind of ideas that I was thinking about. We sometimes sit and hear repeated misfacts or you know, misinformation, and it harms our when we make a decision, you know, and as Dave says, we're supposed to be informed, and our decision is based on being informed, and yet, you know, the testimony is repeated misinformation. Those kinds of situations, I think, require some responsiveness. And so your two suggestions about how to do that, I think, and as well as Commissioner McIsaac bringing up, you know, just questioning staff, I think are the kinds of things that I was suggesting.
Okay, if there's no further objections, we'll wrap up this segment. I'm trying to find the language I need to read here. Here it is.